You are listening to AFL Tonight, presented by ArenaFan.com, celebrating 10 years as the complete arena football resource.
Good evening. Certain NBC executives feel it would be a little unkind to present this show without just a word of friendly warning. We are about to unfold a show featuring David Letterman, a man of science who sought to create a show after his own image without reckoning upon God. It's one of the strangest tales ever told. I think it will thrill you. It may shock you. It might even horrify you. So if any of you feel that you don't care to subject your nerves to such a strain, now's your chance to... Well, we've warned you.
Welcome to AFL Tonight. I am your host, Tim Capper. Week number 4 of the AFL is now upon us. This is Tim Capper with his radio voice because, excuse me, fighting a cold. So bear with me this week. We will hopefully be able to get through everything that we want to, and hopefully still, show won't be that bad. Either way, I don't know if any of you had recognized before, we opened the show with the late, great Larry Bud Melman from NBC and CBS's Late Night with David Letterman. Passed away yesterday at 75. And any of you who have been watching Letterman for many a year know that he opened the show and he was a stalwart with the show, and just want to give, I think what better way than to open the show with a tribute towards him. Either way, week 4, interesting to say the least. I always say that every week, don't I? Some interesting points. You know, we had a brand new player break for once this was not a very long record. It didn't get as much emphasis as I think a lot of us expected. We are going to talk about, it comes to, you know, it's these rules again, and it's something that we're going to follow up on. Are the rules a good thing, a bad thing? We're not going to dwell on the fictitious, Iron Man of the Week award, which, it's a ploy. Anyway, excuse me. We have fan mail here at AFL Tonight, and just as promised, if anybody of you happen, any of the fans happen to write in to us, we are going to go ahead and try to answer your questions and give your comments on what you think about the show and what you may have to say about the AFL. Magic 8-Ball has returned again this week. Hopefully, we as humans are going to stay true and stay fortified, and what the hell am I trying to say? I don't know. Basically, beat the living snot out of that plastic piece of crap. Weekly tradition, AFL Tonight Pick of the Week, when we go over all of this week's upcoming games. Also, the first thing that we're going to start with this week is the AFL actually unveiled and completed the AFL exhibit, and over the Pro Football Hall of Fame, the game this week with Columbus is going to be the Pro Football Hall of Fame night, but I don't know. As an AFL fan, when I hear that the league was going to have this, you know, this big to-do about the have an AFL exhibit at the Pro Football Hall of Fame, I was, it's not necessarily that I was skeptical about what was going to be put out there, but I was thinking that, you know, this is a great thing for the league. Now, mind you, I have never been to the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton. I've been to the one in the Canadian Football League Hall of Fame in Hamilton, Ontario. Totally two different things from what I've been told. I mean, as far as size wise, et cetera, et cetera. But I've never been to the one in Canton, so I don't really have anything to base on except for the Canadian one. I'm not saying that it's not bad, but the pictures were released this week on the exhibit, and if you need to see them, they are available in the thread on the Arena Fan message boards about the original announcement. Or you can go ahead over to the league site if need be and check out the link. But I'm very, very underwhelmed on what I saw and what I don't know what I was really expecting. Sure, they have pieces of the uprights, the netting, the field, a nice large background of the arena in Kansas City, with a game going on as part of a backdrop, along with helmets of the current teams, football jersey, etc., and oh yeah, the infamous Manila envelope and the fan bill of rights. Yeah, I don't know. I saw it, and the first thing I saw is that one of the main pictures is the one of the new jerseys this year by Russell Athletic. I'm not a fan of the jerseys this year. I find that they look cheap. But the way that the exhibit shows the jerseys, you know, it's a Dallas Desperados jersey. It talks about specifically the jersey and the technology that the AFL is using to showcase the league, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's a giant ad. That's all that the AFL exhibit is a giant ad. And it makes me wonder what would happen if Russell Athletic, you know, leaves. You know, they're a 5-year, you know, locked into it about for 5 years of the term of the ESPN contract. What, you know, would they make the change there? Is it a permanent exhibit? Okay, I mean, if you think about it, you got Russell Athletic jerseys. You got Shutt helmets. You have the Spalding ball. Right there, you have three different advertisers for the league. Mind you, I've not seen, and as I said, I've not seen any of the other stuff for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, but is it the same? Are they just promoting sponsors? I just felt that it could be done a little bit better, and there is a poll of the week this week on the front page of Arena Fan that it talks specifically about now that it is unveiled, will you go? Choices being yes, but it's too far, no, and then what exhibit? I guess I would have to question if I would go or not. It's not that I don't want to see it or see the Pro Football Hall of Fame, but I just really find what they have put out there underwhelming. What do you guys think? You the fans, let us know. You can send us some your feedback to AFL Tonight. Just head over to the Contact Us section. If you want, you can click on my email, send me an email, or go to the Contact Us section and choose, I think, AFL Tonight, and shoot your information over to us. So, very underwhelmed, people. I mean, I wouldn't pay to go see it. I mean, I'm 9 hours away from Pittsburgh, as is where I'm located currently, so I'll wait. Traveling road show. No. I just thought about something, with it coming up, in New Orleans, where they bring, no, never mind. AFL would never do that. They could surprise me. Also, we were mentioning before that there was a change in one of the records, in the record AFL record books last week. Bob McMillan, the rush last year, set the all-time record for rushing in the AFL. Big to-do about it, press releases, Rush put up a banner for him. And I would imagine that's the reason why he got the front of the the video game. God, I'm losing my mind here. The video game, you know, Arena Football, Road to Glory. But then last week, and with very, very little fanfare, and I don't know if this is because there's no NBC, I haven't seen anything that was on ESPN, but Arizona's Bo Kelly is now the AFL's leading rusher. He passed Bob McMillan last week, and according to the AFL press release, he has 1,430 all-time yards. What is an interesting stat? And I look at we looked this up, and mind you, these are the stats that I'm about to mention to you came directly from the Arena Fan site, so maybe off just a little bit. But in 2007 alone, Bo Kelly has 26 rushes for 82 yards and 3 touchdowns. McMillan, on the other hand, only has 7 rushes for 3 yards and no touchdowns. Now, they joke about having the Madden curse, etc. I'm wondering, McMillan's on the front of the football game, the EA football game. curse, maybe? I'm trying to remember what Dutton did last year. He didn't put up spectacular numbers last year, as far as I can remember. Now, mind you, if I had stuck by that comment, I would have been I would have been totally wrong. I mean, Dutton had an amazing year last year. 4,400 yards, 96 touchdowns. So maybe there's no curse per se. Maybe it's just starting 1 year late. So it's a little bit of a sophomore jinx, we'll call it. I don't know what's happening with McMillan. Maybe it's a change with the way that the rules are going this year, defensive and offensive rules, but he's just not producing as much as he used to. So, the record held for 1 year. I mean, mind you, these two could easily go back and forth the entire year, I can see it now. McMillan becomes all-time leading rusher. Bo Kelly becomes all-time leading rusher. It could be a PR disaster for the AFL. But, yeah, it is what it is. It is true. Congratulations to Bo Kelly for becoming the leading rusher in the Arena Football League. You would think that with a rushing title, now mind you, this is only being the AFL, and, rushing is not a constant. It's not a constant every game. It's not as high as it is in the NFL, etc., but you would have thought that this record would have stood for less than a year. So either way, props to him on the accomplishment. He has been a long time AFL alum.
ArenaFan.com, celebrating 10 years as the internet's complete arena football resource.
And I will admit, for the first time this year, that I like to say, we got fan mail! That's right. As I mentioned, 2 weeks of mentioning it has paid off, and I hope you fans do continue to send us your comments and questions, and we hope to be able to answer them on the show each week. But it came from the email, fan mail came from Fabian this week. And remember last week we were talking about the top 10 current paid QBs in the league. And Fabian's question was, what is Mark Grebe's salary? He's got to be a steal if he's not in the top 10. And I will admit, for once, our crack staff here at AFL Tonight sort of dropped the ball on this one. We had mentioned specifically that Shedrick Bonner was number 10 overall, at average of $100,000 a year. In essence, Mark Grebe was actually tied with Shedrick Bonner at $100,000 for, $100,000 an average over his contract. So he too was tied at number 10. So we'd like to, make an addendum, make a correction. Yeah, we were wrong, Fabian, so I will admit so. But he was number 10 overall currently on the AFL when it comes to AFL salaries for quarterbacks. He also, Fabian, would happen to also talk about he mentioned that we've noticed that we haven't been talking specifically about the lack of HD in ESPN's coverage. He himself, he says so far the Sabercats have been able to have their away games in HD via Fox Sports Next Bay Area HD. Comcast has both away games in HD. DirecTV only has the Chicago game in HD. It's, you know, this is something I will admit, I thought I may have mentioned this week one after it occurred, but I was very disappointed when it came to HD specifically for ESPN. First game also on ABC. I know I having the ability to have HD broadcasts, I was like, man, you know, I was expecting it to be, remember last year, the last game on NBC for Arena Bowl was in HD. Didn't get to see it because, you know, I was in Vegas actually watching the, you know, as Joe Kaufman, our president of Arena Fan, has said, the best type of HD is being there live. And I totally agree. That's where I was. I was there live watching the game. But I was willing and hoping that the game was going to be in HD on television, but it looks like ABC has totally dropped the ball. Hopefully this week, we'll see. We have two games on ESPN, the first game being on the Deuce on Thursday. But let's see in particular if they're able to do it either Thursday night, or if they're able to do it, you know, especially, you know, the big pomp and circumstance they're giving about this, you know, this Thursday's game with Elway and Bon Jovi. Their team's playing. You know, it's like their team's playing, not the Philadelphia Soul or the Colorado Crush, but anyways. He also happened to talk about and ask about, do you know what the scoop is with Sirius Satellite Radio? You know, is it an issue with the league? Sorry, I don't mean to think it means is it an issue, or the individual teams or team's primary radio broadcaster. So far, only the Sabercats game on Sirius is the New Orleans game on April 13th. And I've noticed that too. I mean, if you head over to the Arena Fan schedule page, you'll notice in particular that there are at least two games a week for the entire season. I think so far, except for the last season of the year. Get off your cough medicine, Capper. The last week of the year. I've noticed that a lot of them are actually the same. You know, the same team, same, not necessarily every week, but there is not, it looks a lot like the, it looks a lot like the Monday night schedule on ESPN. It's, you know, mostly, more or less, you know, the same teams over and over again. But from what I understand from somebody who has Sirius Satellite Radio, is that it is one of the two broadcasters of the games. And just by looking at it, I really think I think it would be the home team. I'm not 100% sure because I'm just looking at the matchups here. Thursday night's game: Colorado, Philly, New York at Tampa, Georgia at Columbus, Philly at New York, Arizona at LA, Chicago at Nashville, San Jose and New Orleans, as Fabian had mentioned, Colorado, New York. I don't know the specifics behind it, but if you get the webcast for any of these, you know, like you can on the schedule page for Arena Fan. And also, by the way, for any of you who do happen to be in the chat room each week, our new Flash scoreboard has the ability for you to, if you don't have the web link, the web radio going, you can click on the icon, the speaker icon, and it will bring you to the link that Arena Fan has in our database. So, I think it's the same one, but I think more or less by looking at the matchups, I think it is the home teams that have, the broadcast, but I'm not for sure. It's information. I really wish I had more information to give you, Fabian, but hopefully it is information that I'll be able to get for you, and we'll let you know in the near future. The last thing for Fabian, he said, finally for ESPN, I thought that Mike and Mike were supposed to be the number one announcers. We've talked about that too, and hopefully that will be the case this week. I think it has to be anyways, because the Philadelphia Soul on Thursday at least, is the team playing, so you can't have, Jaws being a color commentator. I think everybody is tired of him anyways. I just don't know, that's how forgettable they are. Can't even remember the names of the broadcasters. I like, from what I've heard, Mike and Mike did a great job on television. There's a lot of shtick that they've been doing on their show, but I agree. We need to get rid of the Jaws. As Fabian said too, he needs to go back to Philadelphia. Wait, he will be this week. Anyways, thanks for the email, Fabian. Greatly appreciated. If you yourself want to get mentioned here on AFL Tonight or have any questions that need to be answered, shoot us over an email to AFL Tonight by going over to the Contact Us section, and you can click on my name. It will pop up an email, and you can go in and send us your questions. And I thought that it was actually pretty funny the way what Fabian had mentioned, talking about the where was Grebe located. We still have more to go on when it comes to ranking the current players in the AFL, and when it comes to average salary for their contract. There are this year three different types of wide receivers in the AFL. There's a regular wide receiver, as we know with the new substitution rules. There is the ones who do play both ways, the wide receiver defensive back, and there's also the wide receiver linebacker. We're going to break this up, and then we're going to rank all of them together in a few weeks. But this week, we're going to go over the top 10 wide receivers only in the AFL. This information it seemed to be a little bit out of date, the stuff that we got from our sources, based on the current people who are on the, who's going to be ranked here. But we're going to go ahead and go over it anyways, and hopefully we can find it is a little bit interesting. Also, I see when, compared to the quarterbacks, okay. Wide receivers, this sort of makes a lot more sense, but like last week with, Sean King and Adrian McPherson being where they were ranked, ranked 2-3, there's some interesting ones also here. But, so, starting with one-way wide receivers in the AFL, based on the average of their current contract. Number one in the AFL currently goes to Colorado wide receiver Damien Harrell. Totally makes sense in my mind. He is averaging $150,000. He's well worth the price of admission. I was lucky to see Damien play for 2 years in Toronto with the Phantoms before they closed up shop. He was as big a force then as he is now, but I think because he is a primary receiver, he's getting he's a lot more newsworthy, and a lot more coverage. With his current streak of touchdowns in a game, consecutive games, well worth the money, and, that's the way it should be. Next one actually goes to and is a Georgia Forest wide receiver, Chris Jackson. Surprisingly enough, he is only at $100,000. Now remember, this is only one-way wide receivers. One-way wide receivers only. But he's averaging $100,000 for the term of his contract that we have the information that's listed here. Well worth it also. I know he was a steal when he signed with the Grand Rapids Rampage before he was traded to Georgia. But Chris Jackson is a part of that three-headed monster in Georgia, between Chris Jackson, Troy Bergeron, and Derek Lee. He's where he should be. And also, like last week, we're also going to try to give you guys a couple of the players which are we consider steals when it comes to one-way wide receivers. Third so far on the list is Utah Blaze wide receiver Sia Burley. He's averaging $96,000. Makes sense also. So far, I mean, at the top three that we've been talking about, this is exactly where they should be. And it's none of this fluff stuff, when it comes to, okay, yes, you had experience with Sean King and his NFL background, etc. But hold the phone! As soon as I say that, it comes up to, and I said, this information is about a month and a half old, okay? So, this person is listed here, but, you know, the information, we want to give you all information that we have, as in its current form. Big free agent, big signing by the Las Vegas Gladiators, you know, Peter Warwick. He was, before he went on the refuse to report list, he was the fourth highest paid quarterback at one-way wide receiver at $80,000. I now, again, have an issue with this. Just like we had the issue last week with the two quarterbacks, especially as the Sean King. It's like beating a dead horse. Warwick is an unproven AFL receiver. And it's more than just pitch and catch. You know, Damien Harrell makes it look easy. Chris Jackson makes it look easy. Sia Burla makes it look easy. Peter Warwick, yes, he's never played. He'd never played for the Gladiators because he was signed by another team, but another NFL team. But $80,000, I think, is a little high, because when you go to the next person on the list at number five, you're talking about Orlando Predators quarterback Jimmy Friesel, and he's well worth the money that he is, and you know, he's averaging $75,000 for the term of his contract. He's well worth the money. Number six, Troy Edwards, the Rampage. Averaging $72,500. Well worth it also. You know? But Bobby Scipio, Chicago, you know, number seven, $70,000. You talk about all these names that we know about. You throw in Peter Warwick. Okay, he has his NFL experience and background. Who cares? He's not proven it down yet. That's why, yes, previous history makes a difference. But as an example, you look at the CFL, the way that they stuff players who may have come up from the NFL, there's still a pay scale that they have to follow. You know, even though CFL salary cap is at $4.1 million, you still got to be able to, you know, quarterbacks are still the marquee player. You gotta prove your worth. Next on the list at number eight is Kevin Swain. Now he's, as we know, he's done the NFL AFL thing back and forth. He's shown he is a great wide receiver and well worth the money, averaging $67,500 for his contract. Term of his contract. T.T. Tolliver, now the Tampa Bay Storm, same thing. He is, you know, a number nine on the list, at 60. Okay. And then Chicago wide receiver, Kevin Casper at $57,500. And because, you know, the way that Peter Warwick was there and considering he's on the return, a refused report list, we're going to go ahead and include a bonus player. Oh man, who would have thought? Philadelphia Soul wide receiver Larry Brackens, averaging 52.5. What, some of the interesting things that I've noticed on this, you know, there are some players here that have been totally inactive for the past couple of years because they are currently with, you know, they now have their own career. They've graduated the AFL and gone on to the NFL. Antonio Chapman, very well known for his returns with the Chicago Rush, and now is a current property of the Utah Blaze, and also is now with the NFL Cincinnati Bengals, is still on the list. His contract, for the information we have, does not run out until the end of 2008. And he's making, you know, he's making chump change compared to the NFL minimum. Within the AFL contract. Same thing goes for, I think we had another one here. Here, this one, Chris Horn is on this list also. Who is current property of the Austin, the Arizona Rattlers. But we're also talking about, besides the top 10, we have our steals within this list. And now, mind you, some of this information that we're given is only being based on 3 weeks worth of stats. But either way, with the changes that the AFL has made this year, they've been well worth their money. I'd probably say a top on the list right now would be Kevin Prentice. He's averaging $30K for his term of his contract. But mind you, he really has been a one-game wonder. 2 weeks ago, you know, same thing. Sean King, one-game wonder. Kevin Prentice broke the AFL record for most touchdowns receiving in a game. Remember, one-way wide receivers only. So somebody don't say, you know, Tim, I don't happen hearing names like Randy Gatewood or Shawante Bryant, etc. Remember, one-way wide receivers only. Based on the information that we have in front of us, we will get to the others in following weeks. The other one, D'Andrew Reuben, he is averaging 31.8 on his term of his contract. Rookie San Jose wide receiver Ben Nelson is well worth the $40K that he's making on his contract. And I think right now, out of all of them, wide receiver Troy Bergeron, unless information has changed, because the stats that we had on Bergeron, he was not listed as being active, but $28,900 for the term of his contract. And where we had Bergeron here on the list. Bergeron. I don't see what heading he was under originally, but anyways. Well worth the price. I mean, you know, as I said, him, Jackson, and Lee being ahead of a part of that three-headed monster. Speaking of, hold on a second here. I don't think Lee, though, is considered a one-way wide receiver, though. That's why we don't have him listed. Anyways, interesting information. I don't know if it's any more interesting than what we found out from the quarterbacks last week. But as I said, in upcoming weeks, we will be continuing with this. I don't know how it's going to be when it comes to the defensive side of the ball, because, you know, how things have totally changed here in the AFL. We hope to enlighten you guys and inform you with the information that hopefully you have been wanting to find out about.
You are listening to AFL Tonight, presented by ArenaFan.com, celebrating 10 years as the complete arena football resource.
Now it's time for your AFL Tonight Humans versus Magic 8-Ball update. As you know, us humans are trying to go for the AFL Tonight pick-em supremacy versus this inanimate object that is called the Magic 8-Ball. And we're mentioning, by the way, this week, too, that as slightly mentioned last week, there is another twist to this competition this year. And it's not something that we're going to reveal until the end of the regular season. I'll just leave it at that. But there is another twist to come up at the end of the season for this contest. Either way, all players this week made great leaps, strides, and bounds. Our highest being a 7-1 record. And by the way, this can all be followed by the thread that is on the Arena Fan message boards. 7-1 record. 3 players at 6-2, including myself, and Magic 8-Ball. So 2 weeks in a row for Magic 8-Ball that he is over 500 after the horrible week that it had. And the lowest being a 5-3 record. So overall, the highest record to date is by one of our players at 18-8. Myself, I am finally over 500 at 14-12. Still followed closely on the heels by that Magic 8 Ball at 13-13. But overall, Magic 8 Ball is now currently placed at 133rd out of the entire playing field on the regular pick'em for ArenaFan.com. Comments about the contest? Want to join in with us next year? We're trying to get as many people as possible. We got an additional player this year. Just drop us a line here at AFL Tonight, and we'll be see if we can get you guys in on this great contest to see who can beat this can beat the Magic 8 Ball. So far, humans rule. Humans rule. Yeah. Well, week 4 is upon us here, as I had mentioned before. And before we get into our AFL Tonight Pick of the Week, we are continuing to follow the trend of how the teams are doing compared, you know, with the new rules and scoring and so on. For the past 2 weeks, we had been talking about how well the kickers or how poorly the kickers have been doing. And it just continues to be the same. You know, a lot of them are costing the teams their the games. We're going to be skipping that this week in particular, but we're still going to focus on the total points per game. Remember, through last week, scoring was up even with these new quote unquote substitution rules by over 10 points. Sort of an anomaly, we had our first bye week. But in 2006, week 3, 2006, 9 games played in the AFL, they scored a grand total of 972 points. It's an average of 108 per game. That's based on 9 games. Last week, it started off pretty slow. I mean, we had a couple of games that, you know, that didn't have over 80 points. But it rebounded, grand total of 837 points for the entire week with an average of 104.6. So compared to the first 2 weeks, you know, it was down. Now it sort of makes sense, you know, one less game, you know, it was a 2007 compared to 2006 was down by 135 points. But there was one less game, so you had two less teams playing. But overall for the year, through 3 weeks of 2006, averaging of 98.1 points a game. 2007, 104 points even, for an average of 2007 is up by a total of 5.9 points per game. So much for these rules. I'm curious to see how the game on the Thursday goes between the Crush and the Soul. One thing that made me cringe last week, in particular between Zona and Colorado, was that painstaking 9-minute drive by the Rattlers, which literally took themselves out of the game. Penalties, if I'm not mistaken, at least 3 pass interference penalties were called that gave Arizona extra life on the drive. But a 9-minute drive. I'm sure that made Elway more than happy to see this. This is the type of thing that goes along in the AFL, in the NFL, not the AFL. Curious to know how many points are scored this week. If all goes according to plan, I got a feeling there's going to be at least 100 points scored this week. Considering that we really don't think that Colorado is as good as they are. Here, you know, we're not here at AFL Tonight. We just don't really think that they're that good. But, sort of segue, I guess, into week 4. Starting Thursday on The Deuce, ESPN2, ESPN 360, and Sirius Satellite Radio, Colorado goes to Philadelphia. Battle of the Drinking Games. Or is it Elway? No, it's the Bon Jovi Drinking Game. Friday night, New York at Tampa. Well, a lot of people are considering this the toilet bowl. I mean, I'm trying to remember the last time that the Tampa Bay Storm, especially Tim Markham, started off at 0-3 to begin a season. And Tampa Bay is riding a career and franchise long tied the record of 5 straight losses. I'm sure Markham does not want to start the season 0-4, or he may lose even more hair and improve that comb over even more. New York is still hurting without Aaron Garcia, but at least they were able to score some points last week versus the Chicago Rush. Also, Grand Rapids, Utah. Now, this could easily go one of two ways. There could be a severe blowout when it comes to Utah playing Grand Rapids. And as we know, Michael Bishop will be starting for the Grand Rapids Rampage after quarterback Matt Sauk was summarily dismissed. But the way Utah's defense is playing, or rather not playing, Grand Rapids could easily be in this game the entire time. Utah has got to improve their defense, and hopefully Danny White has made some changes to it this week. You cannot continue to give up between 65 and 70 points a game and expect to win every game. And that's what happened last week. You know, Nashville looked like they were one of the worst teams in the league. Along comes Utah. And Nashville pulls the upset, 69-55. So, lastly, on Friday, Arizona at Las Vegas. Which Las Vegas quarterback and wide receiver will return? Will Kevin Prentice be back to the way he was, or was he a one-game wonder? Last week showed he was a one-game wonder. Same thing with Sean King. Arizona has continued with the AFL veteran Shedrick Bonner. By the way, according to the information we have here at broadcast time, the Tampa Bay game, Tampa Bay, New York, and Arizona, Las Vegas, will be on AFLNet. On Saturday, our game of the week here at AFL Tonight, San Jose goes into Georgia to play the Force. You got your three-headed monster versus the sophomore phenom and current rookie of the year, Ben Nelson. And the Sabercats. That game will only be broadcast locally in San Jose. Columbus and Chicago. Chicago travels to Columbus to celebrate Professional Football Hall of Fame Day, or whatever it's called. Chicago is in playing a lot better. Columbus is going to try to rebound from last week's they're going to try to rebound it and not, you know, try to shake off the rust from being on a bye week last week. So we'll see in particular what happens with the, see if they come out flat. Same thing with San Jose going into Georgia. Also funny, another team that was on a bye week last week, the LA Avengers and Sonny Cumbie. They go into New Orleans to play the Voodoo. His Voodoo is a very surprisingly good team this year, considering that even I myself have said that this team was not going to be as good as they were because of the year layoff. But you know, Mike New has had the team clicking on all cylinders. Sonny Cumbie starting to become very comfortable in LA as starting quarterback, and I'm sure many of you may have seen. If you haven't, you can head over to the LA Avengers website. They have announced the AFL's second alternate jersey being worn this year. It's going to be an all blue, powder blue number, very similar to the Brigade, very similar to the Cats actually, but that shirt. The jersey will be worn in, I think it's 2 weeks' time, But not only do we have the Dallas ones, the black ones, they were introduced week one, but now we have the LA Avengers. I'm curious to know if there can be any more teams unveiling third jerseys for this year. I will admit, this is one positive when it comes to the contract with Russell Athletic. But man, the non-sewn on numbers are just very ugly, and I'm sure you guys may agree with me once you see the pictures of the LA jersey. Austin, gonna be having a home game versus the Nashville Cats. Nashville, coming off that big win last week versus Utah, and Austin is gonna try to come off a 30-point, not a 30-point loss, but a 15-point loss to Orlando. When they only scored 30 points versus the Predators. And lastly, also on ESPN2 on Monday, Russell Athletic, ESPN AFL football on Monday night, whatever they're calling it, Dallas goes into Orlando to settle the score between the two teams. Dallas, Orlando said coming off the win last week, Dallas themselves coming off a win over the Kansas City Brigade, a tough win over the Kansas City Brigade. This week's bye week goes to Kansas City. But as we had mentioned, this week's game of the week here on AFL Tonight is going to be the San Jose-Georgia Force game on Saturday night. Do hope all of you enjoy this week's action. Things are starting to come around when it comes to the road to Arena Bowl 21. Speaking of Arena Bowl 21, I just want to mention to everybody that we at Arena Fan, we are going to try once again to have the Arena Fan Bash at Arena Bowl 21. If anybody, whether you live in New Orleans or don't, want to help us get this thing off the ground and have a party for the best indoor fans in the country, go over to the AFL message boards, the Arena Fan message boards, the AFL section, and give us your information in the thread there specifically for the Arena Fan Bash. So this is Tim Capper for AFL Tonight. Want to thank everybody again for joining us this week. We'll be back next week. Same podcast time, same podcast place. Hopefully we'll get this show up as normal between Tuesday and Wednesday. I know we're a little bit late this week, but better late than never. Enjoy this week's action. And again, if you have any comments or concerns, questions, shoot us a line here at AFL Tonight, and we'll be more than happy to answer your questions. Once again, I want to thank everybody for joining us, and everybody here on the arena, on the staff of AFL Tonight. Again, I'm Tim Capper. Watch the rebounds off the net.
Hello, everybody.
Oh, man.
I love you for loving me.
Okay.
Goodbye.
ArenaFan.com, celebrating 10 years as the Internet's complete arena football resource.
Mission Control, 2049er, transmission concluded.